When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 143 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
And this episode is sponsored by Agata Malicki. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So today we will be discussing the second half of chapter 14 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Percy and Padfoot. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to flop your way through the details.
Flop, flop, flop.
Before we begin, we have super exciting weekly profit news.
We do. Baby Grint has arrived, and it's a girl.
Woo!
Baby Grint!
Can I just say that Carly texted me, and she said, I'm sure that you've seen this, but did you hear that Quarantina Grint was born?
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. I thought that was great.
That's a good joke.
Yeah.
That's a joke.
I am excited for Rupert. Even though I'm sad, it never could happen.
Oh my god.
You are out of your mind.
But honestly, congrats to him and his girlfriend. And that's awesome.
Yeah, good for them. A little spark in a time we need some extra light, you know?
Someone posted it in the group and said, Megan, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
I thought that was amusing.
It's hilarious.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all I got. That's all she
wrote.
That's
all we got. Okay. Katie.
That was short. Yes, ma'am.
Katie.
Are you ready?
I'm beyond ready.
Are you looking at me?
I'm looking right at you through this webcam.
Will you look at it? It's time for the recap.
Okay. Harry wrote a cryptic letter to dear old Snuffles. It's pretty good. Like, we all get on Harry about not being smart enough to be Ravenclaw. This could probably maybe get him in.
Yeah.
And he also ran into his current flame in the Owlery. If you don't know who that is, that's Cho Chang. And she even stuck up against him, against Filch, and then said that she thought he was very brave for standing up to Umbridge. Shout out to Eric Munch. And Ron has his first ever Quidditch practice, even though it didn't really go too well. But he didn't go to the hospital wing. Katie Bell did, so I guess it went okay for him.
It was partially okay.
Right.
For Harry, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Weasley's fault that she's in the hospital wing.
Mm-hmm.
Any whoosies, after practice, they end up back in the common room, finally getting their piles of homework done, and they're interrupted by a cool letter from Percy. Hey, dude, long time no hear. you know, he's just giving Ron some advice, you know, some congratulations. And then they continue to finish their homework. And then finally, when the common room is empty late at night, Sirius's head pops into the fire. So that's also cool, but also hot because it's in a fire. And then they have a conversation with him and learn some stuff, and he leaves and the chapter ends.
Cool. Dump.
All good right. Job. That was well done. That was well done. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks.
So we always have to remember that we're like halfway through this chapter, which I have to forewarn everyone. I'm still splitting the upcoming chapters so far. So they're just too long.
They're just long, man.
I mean, I'm not sad about it.
Girlfriend likes to write. I mean, this is just the way it's going to be. So about a half an hour later, Hermione asks them how practice was as Ron and Harry climb through the portrait hole. And it starts out with this quote from Harry. It was... And then he didn't have any time, or maybe not even the words to get out that before Ron completed his sentence for him. And Ron said it was completely lousy, said Ron in a hollow voice, sinking into a chair beside Hermione. She looked up at Ron and her frostiness seemed to melt. Well, not for long. Get ready to get mad again. Because we know that they're very... what do I want to say? They're not like fighting. They're like nitpicky.
Yeah, they're
bickering. You know, back bickering. Like, that's the word that I wanted.
Pre-married couple.
Yeah.
These are premarital spats, if you will. So Hermione tells Ron that, you know, it's only the first practice. She's sure that he's, you know, it's bound to take some time to get better, but she also can't finish her sentence because Ron snaps at her and says, "Who said it was me that made it lousy?" And I said, "Everyone just needs to calm down."
Mm-hmm. You need to calm down. You're being too loud.
But honestly, like, even just reading her reaction, you can tell that she really didn't mean it that way. Like, underlying, I think she really did. But when she said it, I don't think she meant for it to come across like that. But Ron is feeling super down about himself. We always say that, you know, he needs to have that confidence boost to show his full potential because he's really great at a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I love these moments within the series because it shows you how relatable and real these characters are. Like, who hasn't snapped at someone like that because of how they felt about what they were doing or who they were internally? And they took it that way because that's how they were already feeling about themselves. Like, it's just so incredibly relatable.
I, the Slytherin, have never done that before.
No, I know you haven't, because you know what, honey? You're perfect.
I know.
Oh,
love
my.
All of you. Even if you were to snap at me, it's all good.
Sometimes somebody, you know, you just have to be a little snapping turtle and just snap, snap, snap-a-roo, you know?
Yep.
But it's fine. But I also think this is one of the things that makes it so people can really easily connect to the characters within the series.
Yeah.
So just say that. So Ron angrily says that he's going to get started on his homework and he stomps off to the boys' dorms. And Hermione turns to Harry and she's like, so was he lousy? And like a loyal friend, Harry says, no, like a liar. But Hermione doesn't really believe him anyway, so she gives him like a look, and because of the reaction that Ron gave, she kind of knows already that something was up. So Harry elaborated a little on this, on his performance, which was basically that, you know, he could have played better, right? He could have done better. It's fine. Everything's fine.
It's fine. As there's fire everywhere.
Right.
This is fine.
Exactly. Anywho, neither Harry or Ron made very much progress on their homework that night, but Ron couldn't think about anything but the practice, and Harry was even having trouble getting the chant, "Gryffindors are losers," out of his head. So their entire Sunday was spent in the common room doing their homework, and unfortunately for them, the day was very beautiful, it was clear, and the rest of the Gryffindors were spending their day out on the grounds because it might be the last sunshiny day that year.
That's terrible. We've all had that day, man. You know, like, you're either at work and it's freaking gorgeous in the summertime, or, like, something you waited until last minute to do stops you from going outside or going out somewhere with your friends or whatever. We've all been there.
Yep. It's the worst. Agreed. The worst. So, by that night, Harry felt that somebody had been beating his brain against his skull with how much work he has done been doing, and I can totally relate to that feeling. So he comes up with the brilliant idea to, you know, do more homework during the week and then they wouldn't have to do it on a beautiful Sunday. And then I also said, stop getting detentions, maybe.
What a concept.
No, but he's standing up for what's right. I cannot fault him for this.
Yeah.
So Professor McGonagall assigned them an essay on the inanimatus. Conjure a spell? Is that how you say that? It sounds like an inanimate object. So an inanimatus conjurous spell. So I looked that up and it's Harry Potter wiki. It says the incantation's unknown. It's a transfiguration spell. Whoa. Huh. The effect is also unknown. Given the name, it's likely to conjure inanimate objects.
Well, thanks, Internet. That's swell.
Well, breakdown. Then Professor Sinistra assigned an essay about Jupiter's moons. And friends, I would like to talk to you a moment about the moons of Jupiter.
Yes, please.
Lay it on me.
Okay. Are you ready? Sasa, are you buckled up? Are you ready?
I don't have buckles, but sure.
Okay. So Jupiter has 53 named moons and another 26 awaiting official names.
That's awesome.
So a total of 79 moons.
Can't find my bell.
Oh, why don't we name them? How many are unnamed?
You want to name 26 moons?
Sure.
All right, you name 20.
Sarah.
Yes.
Sarah Jr. Sarah the Third. Sasa.
Florence.
Yeah.
What are we at?
Florence. It'd be like Jr. Mike Tyson. And they Florence could all be just third. Sarah. Yeah.
Flo Flo.
Megan. Megan
no.
Jr.
No.
Megan the Third.
Katie Jr.
Teddy.
Katie the Third. Excuse me, but I would like one to be named Megan Junior Junior, not Megan.
I mean,
Megan Junior Junior.
I'm cool with that.
Frank Junior Junior.
Yeah, Lady Supreme.
We know, like, Europa and Ganymede, but if you would like to know more about Jupiter's moons, they are listed in alphabetical order, the ones that are named, on solarsystem.nasa.gov.
Let's name one of them Karen.
She's the last moon. No, I'm just kidding.
Susan
Moon. Shout out to Karens and Susans if you're nice. Meow. That was the shout out to
Iggy
Karen.
Iggy wants to be named after a moon. Or rather, he wants a moon named after him.
I've got a moon named after you. Sasa, Sasa 2.
Oh my God. So Ron is feeling super overwhelmed, and he mentioned to Harry that maybe they should just, you know, ask Hermione if she would let them look at what she's done for her homework. And so Harry looks over at her, and she's basically living her best life. She's having a great day. Says, quote, Harry glanced over at her. She was sitting with Crookshanks on her lap, chatting merrily to Ginny as a pair of knitting needles flashed in midair in front of her, now knitting a pair of shapeless elf socks. So Harry contemplates this, and he's like, no, she's not going to let us, especially with the way that, you know, things went with the whole Quidditch practice talk. So they continue to work until the crowd in the common room dies down and the light outside becomes darker. Hermione finally comes over to them, and she began to look over their work, correcting Ron's work, and that made him snarl at her, which I think her intentions were nice. I don't think she's going to go over there. I mean, she has the ability, believe me, to be sassy and, you know, try and get a word in, because that's the thing that we always say, like, we love when she gets, like, fired up and stands up for herself. But I honestly think that she was coming over and just out of instincts was like, oh, you know, this is should be this. So go ahead, Sasa.
That I would be like, that would tick me off if I was Ron. Like, well, first of all, you don't want to help me at all. And now you're going to come over here just to be like, that's wrong. Like, step off my cubes. All right. Like, don't talk to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows if they would have asked her earlier if she would have helped or not.
But like, regardless, like, why are you coming over here and like trying to correct me? I don't know. That just would irritate me.
They're best friends. That's what friends do.
My friends wouldn't do that because I'm smarter than all of them. So I would have the answer right.
Listen.
Oh my God.
Talk to me about moons later.
I got you, girl.
Ron says, quote, I haven't got time to listen to a sermon. All right, Hermione, I'm up to my neck in it here. No, look. Hermione was pointing at the nearest window. Harry and Ron both looked over, and a handsome screech owl was standing at the windowsill gazing in the room at Ron. Isn't that Hermes? Said Hermione, sounding amazed.
All right, so Ron looks over at the quality bird and says, blimey, it is. And he wonders what Percy is writing to him for. Hermione tells him to open it, and then the further down he reads, the more he scowls. And when he finishes, he looks disgusted, thrusts it at Harry and Hermione to read on their own. Which is, I think, the perfect reaction from Ron, because, like, he's reading it, like he took it and he read it before even showing them, and, like, he just gets aggravated on his own and is like, I can't even, like, read this out loud to you. Here. Like, read it. This is ridiculous. So I'm just gonna read Percy's letter, because it is an important one.
Oh, Percy. And let's all bear in mind that the man we know and love, Chris Rankin, is different from Percy Weasley.
Yes. All right. Jeez. Y'all, stop saying that he is Percy. He is not Percy. His name is Chris. And he is vastly different than the character that he portrayed.
Accurate.
Yeah. And I also want to preface this with Percy has a lot of issues that he needs to work through. Mm-hmm. And I just want to recognize the fact that, like...
Get in line, sir.
He is making a huge mistake right now.
Yep.
But people make mistakes. And I just want to remind everybody that he ends up making the right decision. So we just have to remember that in the end, he gets there. It just takes him longer to get there than other people.
But in the end, it doesn't even matter.
it kind of matters, though.
But, think of Ron, and, like, reading Ron in the first couple books at times can be super frustrating for me. Yeah, because he can be super close-minded, and he can be... he can look at things from one perspective because, like, that's how he was raised, and it's, you know, he's not getting into his own yet. And I feel like we see Ron's growth more because we are with him more, because he's Harry's best friend. Whereas it's more difficult with Percy because he is a side character, and we literally only get to see him when Harry's at the Burrow and Percy is there. During this letter, brief moments at Hogwarts, like, we don't know Percy at the end of the day, like, at all. We know a little teeny tiny tic-tac bit about Percy. So it's just really hard. It's hard sometimes to remember those things whenever you read something like this that is honestly really difficult to read, because he's just not right, and he'll get there, but... I get why it's frustrating to read this and be like, oh gosh, you're just such a jerk. I hate you. But right. like, you have to just take a step back and be like, he gets there. It's okay. He just takes longer. And he processes things different than his brothers. And again, at the end of the day, all that matters is he gets to the right place in the end. Mm-hmm. So now that I said my little piece, I'm going to read Percy's letter.
We didn't want to talk about him.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. I have my letter up, so I couldn't see your video. Go for it.
I just think that, like, as of right now, you know, Percy's in the mindset of, and really, he's still young. He's still naive. Like, how long is right. he outside of school? Like, he's probably, I don't think he's even 20 years old, right? Like, how old is he? Maybe 20. Like,
just turned yeah. 20, possibly. Yeah.
That's so young. So, like,
you know, at this point in time, Harry's kind of now seeing, like, how the people that he has been taught to think are always going to make the right choices aren't. So Harry's learning this lesson with, like, the government and Fudge and the papers, like, all doing things and basically making up lies because they don't want to talk about, like, what's really going on. So Harry's kind of seeing it where he's going through all of these things where, like, okay, just because Fudge is the Minister of Magic doesn't really mean he has everybody's, like, he doesn't have everybody's back, where Percy doesn't see this thing. So he's still thinking, like, I can trust my government. I can trust what they're saying. I can trust all of these things that are happening because they're authority figures, and that's what he's been taught to learn.
Right.
Not to say, because, you know, he is going against his parents, and, like, yeah. you know, that is probably a huge thing for him to, like, now all of a sudden, like, his parents are going against the thing that they were, like, have taught him, you know, that you should listen to your government, you should listen to the Minister of Magic, and now everything's divided. So just cut him some slack.
I think that basically. With Percy, it's about the fact that he values authority and trusts authority. So, mm-hmm. so, like, when he was at Hogwarts, he trusted and, you know, was fully all in with Dumbledore. But then as soon as he's out and about, his new authority figure is Fudge. So to him, Fudge is above Dumbledore because he's the Minister of Magic. So, like, what yeah. Fudge is saying should be true. And there was never a moment, really, prior to this where Fudge and Dumbledore weren't on the same page. Like, this is the first, because, I mean, Fudge was going to Dumbledore for everything before this.
At least out in the open.
Correct.
Right.
But, like, to Percy, this is the first time where he has to, like, choose which authority he's listening to the most. And I think that he ends up choosing the Minister because that's what he's surrounded by right now. He works there. That's his boss. He's in very close contact with him. So it would make sense that that's the person that he's going to believe. It's, I mean, it's tricky, but that's,
there's,
you know.
There's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so I'm just going to read word for word what his letter says to Ron. Dear Ron, I have only just heard from no less a person than the Minister of Magic himself, who has it from your new teacher, Professor Umbridge, that you have become a Hogwarts prefect. I was most pleasantly surprised. Yes.
That's some sneaky, sneaky stuff on the part of Umbridge and Fudge.
Agreed.
To go to Ron's brother,
yeah.
to have him talk to Harry Potter's best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're nasty. Go yeah. ahead, Megan.
You're nasty.
You're gross and you're nasty.
I was most pleasantly surprised when I heard this news and must firstly offer my congratulations. I must admit that I have always been afraid that you would take what we might call the Fred and George route rather than following in my footsteps. So you can imagine my feelings on hearing you have stopped flouting authority and have decided to shoulder some real responsibility.
How did Ron not stop reading right there?
That would have been difficult right. for me. Especially because, like, Fred and George have plenty of responsibility, just in a different aspect
right.
than Percy.
Right.
But Percy's very black and white at times. They're, like, he does not see gray. So,
eventually.
Okay. Eventually.
Get his vision checked.
Yeah.
But I want to give you more than congratulations, Ron. I want to give you some advice, which is why I'm sending this at night rather than by the usual morning post. Hopefully, you will be able to read this away from prying eyes and avoid awkward questions. From something the minister let slip when telling me you are now prefect, I gather that you are still seeing a lot of Harry Potter. I must tell you, Ron, that nothing could put you in danger of losing your badge more than continued fraternization with that boy. Yes, I am sure you are surprised to hear this. No doubt you will say that Potter has always been Dumbledore's favorite, but I feel bound to tell you that Dumbledore may not be in charge at Hogwarts much longer, and the people who count have a very different and probably more accurate view of Potter's behavior. I shall say no more here, but if you look at the Daily Prophet tomorrow, you will get a good idea of the way the wind is blowing, and see if you can spot yours truly. Seriously, Ron, you do not want to be tarred with the same brush as Potter. It could be very damaging to your future prospects, and I am talking here about life after school, too. As you must be aware, given that our father escorted him to court, Potter had a disciplinary hearing this summer in front of the whole Wizengamot, and he did not come out of it looking too good. He got off on a mere technicality, if you ask me, and many of the people I've spoken to remain convinced of his guilt. It may be that you are afraid to sever ties with Potter. I know that he can be unbalanced and, for all I know, violent. But if you have any worries about this, or have spotted anything else in Potter's behavior that is troubling you, I urge you to speak to Dolores Umbridge, a really delightful woman, who I know will only be too happy to advise you. This leads me to my other bit of advice. As I have hinted above, Dumbledore's regime at Hogwarts may soon be over. Your loyalty, Ron, should be not to him, but to the school and the ministry. I am very sorry to hear that so far Professor Umbridge is encountering very little cooperation from staff as she strives to make those necessary changes within Hogwarts that the ministry so ardently desires, although she should find this easier from next week. Again, see the Prophet tomorrow. I shall say only this. A student who shows himself willing to help Professor Umbridge now may be very well placed for head boyship in a couple of years. I am sorry that I was unable to see more of you over the summer. It pains me to criticize our parents, but I'm afraid I can no longer live under their roof while they remain mixed up with the dangerous crowd around Dumbledore. If you are writing to Mother at any point, you might tell her that a certain Sturgis Podmore, who's a great friend of Dumbledore's, has recently been sent to Azkaban for trespass at the ministry. Perhaps that will open her eyes to the kind of petty criminals with whom they are currently rubbing shoulders. I count myself very lucky to have escaped the stigma of association with such people. The minister really could not be more gracious to me, and I do hope, Ron, that you will not follow, that you will not allow family ties to blind you to the misguided nature of our parents' beliefs and actions either. I sincerely hope that, in time, they will realize how mistaken they were, and I shall, of course, be ready to accept a full apology when that day comes. Please think over what I have said most carefully, particularly the bit about Harry Potter, and congratulations again on becoming prefect. Your brother, Percy. So, a couple things. Well, first of all, I just think it's funny that Harry says, well, if you want to sever ties with me, I swear I won't get violent. Which is funny. But then Ron says, give it back, holding out his hand. He is, Ron said jerkily, tearing Percy's letter in half. The world's, he tore it into quarters. Biggest, he tore it into eighths. Git. And then he threw the pieces into the fire. So just to, like, break down the letter a little bit more, I think that it's important to note that, like, clearly he is fully 100% influenced by the minister in all aspects of this letter. So he's clearly hinting at the fact that Umbridge is going to be getting more power here shortly, and that is going to be through the announcement of her becoming High Inquisitor. I almost kind of wonder as well if he knows that they are leading up to her becoming headmistress. I feel like he knows that. And then about Harry. So, like, Harry having the disciplinary hearing, in Fudge's eyes, he refuses to believe that the Dementors disobeyed him. So that is why he's telling himself that it's a lie, because he didn't tell the Dementors to go and attack Harry. So clearly, it's a lie because they only listen to him. So he's just being naive in the fact that, like, there are other forces out there, you know?
And, yeah, and her name is Umbridge.
Right? Which is crazy. But
yeah.
Anyway, because, like, for the longest time you think, oh, well, Voldemort did it. It's like,
right.
No, that was Umbridge purely just because she is not a
wanted
kind
him
person.
Not yeah. there. Somebody had to take care of you, so I was going to do it myself.
Right. So, and then how he's saying that, like, I'm sure that you might be afraid to sever ties with Harry. Like, he could be violent. He's unbalanced. Again, like, these are all talking points by Fudge that they have been, like, putting in the prophet all summer, right? He's unbalanced. He isn't mentally there. He is seeing things. He is lying. He's mm-hmm. wants attention. Like, all of these things. And again, like, that's just Fudge's way to cope with the truth. Like, deep down, Fudge, no, like, he has to know deep down that something is happening. But this is just him dealing with it.
Right.
So, of course, like, if Fudge is trying to deal with it, he's going to spill all of this Bob Shorts to everybody around him. And who better than his, like, personal assistant, right? So, like, of course he's going to tell Percy all of this. On top of that, we've kind of already discovered that, like, he promoted Percy so that he would kind of have a link to the Weasley family, right? So it was kind of his way to, like, well, maybe if I, like, spew all of this to Percy, he'll put it through to his family and, like, I'll have them on my side. But, like, that doesn't happen.
Right.
So,
or he's again, literally just using Percy because it's like a link that he could get in through to Harry.
To Harry. Which is exactly what is happening here. Right. I mean,
to make him alone.
Right. He's hoping that Percy will reach out to his brother, who will tell Umbridge any secrets about Harry, and that can be reported back to him.
I could even see Fudge being like, you know, I know your one brother is pretty close to Harry. Like, he might have just planted the seed.
You might
want to,
you know.
Yeah. I want to reach out
and
to him.
Also, I have beef with Sturgis going to Azkaban.
Correct.
For that, for trespassing. And then in the next breath, Percy calls him a petty criminal. Why are petty criminals going to Azkaban? You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Bananas.
That happens in real life, though.
I know.
People, there are people
yeah, it's insane.
That are put in jail for years for things that's, it's just, the yep. criminal justice system needs revision.
Agreed.
Yeah, it does.
You know.
That's another conversation. But, and then, like, telling Ron where his loyalty should lie, and, like, this is all just Percy spewing talking points of Fudge's, exactly what Fudge wants him to do, and, like, unfortunately, at this moment in Percy's life, he's a follower. So he's decided to follow Fudge, and that is what he's decided to do. And thankfully, he ends up opening his eyes later, but, like, you know, this is what happens with corruption in, like, all different types of ways. Like, this right here is the perfect example of a corrupt government who's using an assistant to try to get information on somebody. Like,
well, because they know that he is, I mean, Percy strives, right? I kind of accepted his headcanon, too, as we've discussed with Chris, like, he's got middle child syndrome. Like,
for
he
sure.
has to work harder. So Percy strives to be a good student, strives to be the good older brother, strives to be who his mom sees him as.
So, like,
you're prying on that.
Right. And, like, what's the word I'm looking for? But, like, it is, oh my God, I'm blanking. Textbook. It is textbook that Percy is going to, like, follow everything that Fudge wants because, again, he is striving to do the best that he can in his job, and I'm sure that Fudge sees that, so he's prying? No, he's,
manipulating.
He's manipulating him to get more out of him because he knows that, like, that is textbook Percy. You know what I mean?
And also, if we think about the way that Percy was raised, we have to come back and, not saying anything against this, but this is just understanding characters. The way that Molly spoke within their household about, you know, what was good to do with your life, you know, Percy really took that to heart. And I believe mm-hmm. that he thought that he was doing what Molly wanted him to do, what his mother wanted him to do, was to make something of himself
yeah.
working at the Ministry of Magic. It's prestigious. It shows that, you know, he is doing something with his life. And, you know, it's literally been ingrained in him. And unfortunately, I think this is a little bit of a headcanon for me. Don't get mad at me, anyone, but I think Molly oftentimes was a little bit disappointed in Arthur and his role there and thought that he could do more, which maybe is something that Percy picked up on within the household, which gave him his own set of ideas of what he should be when he was older and an adult wizard, and also with how he felt about his dad.
Yeah.
I could see why you would say that, but I don't think Molly thinks that way. I think Percy thinks that way himself. I think that if there were other circumstances, like if Voldemort hadn't come back, whatever, like Molly would have been thrilled. Like both of his parents would have been thrilled that he's now under, I mean, he obviously probably wouldn't have been the undersecretary, whatever he is to Fudge, if he wasn't trying to manipulate him. But I think that like what Arthur does, and the reason he stays in the job that he stays in, he doesn't have a lot of money, is because he loves what he does. Like, he loves his job, and he loves working with, like, muggle things. And I think that Molly, it's one of the things she loves about him, is that he just loves what he does, and he loves his family. And I think that Percy has his own insecurities because of he wants better, and he thinks his dad's not good enough, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I hear you. Yeah, I agree, sir.
Yeah. I can see it in both directions. Like,
who are you, me?
I mean, even if it's something that's not vocalized, right. You can often pick up on, you know, looks and things like that. And, you know, the way that she would get upset, like the flying car, for example, you know, that was like a whole thing. So yeah. It's just, I mean, you just have to make up your own mind about it, essentially. Like, you have to come up with your own headcanon about it. And that's all that we can really do. Because, like you said earlier, Megan, we don't really know Percy.
Yeah.
All we can do is try and match up puzzle pieces.
Yeah, for sure. I think that I can definitely see him kind of coming to that conclusion on his own and possibly, like, misreading cues from Molly, maybe. Because like, Molly and Arthur... I'm sorry, my cat is
that is a
like,
one loud kitty cat.
Molly and Arthur are definitely, like... I feel like they're a couple that's always supportive of each other. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that Arthur would have had conversations with Molly being like, are you sure you're okay with me staying where I am because I really enjoy what I do? Or something like that. And she... You know, I mean... They both make decisions like yeah, Arthur.
Arthur can be supportive and still not agree.
True.
You know? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, she wanted what was best for him, and what's best for him is what made him happy. It's not what put gold in his pockets, you know? So that's why she loves him and why she was, you know, there for him. Even though make up your own mind whether she agreed with it or not.
Yeah.
I think with Percy, though, like, having a dad that obviously, like, he's doing things that are illegal, like having the car, like, that's legal. I think those are things that he himself, like, not his mom or not, like, other, like, probably other people's perspective of his family, but I think seeing those things, because he's very much, like, it's right or it's wrong, it's black or it's white, like Megan said, like, he doesn't really see gray. So, like, yeah, was it, I mean, it's illegal, like, what, the car was illegal, so, like, if he was just driving it around and not flying it around, it would have been fine, but, like, he would always think, like, we shouldn't have this car, we shouldn't do that, yada.
Fred George right there, I'm telling you that much.
Percy's a very follow-the-rules type of person, and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's kind of funny because, like, he really is the only one in his family that's like that. And And maybe there's a reason for that. Like, maybe he feels like that's his way to be different.
Yeah.
And that's his way to stick out amongst all of his family.
Maybe.
Yep.
And because, like, Charlie and Bill, like, I guess, was it Bill that was head boy? Uh-huh. I think. Uh-huh. So, like, Bill, like, maybe was a rule follower, but he seemed like one of, like, he kind of reminded me of, like, a Remus type of person, where, like, he,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
long hair and earring.
Like, he was responsible, but he didn't necessarily, yeah. Like, he definitely probably took advantage of some of, like, the loopholes, kind of like what Arthur does, you know?
Or
like Arthur built the car.
Yeah.
But, like, Arthur built the car, but he never had an intention to fly it, so that was allowed, yeah. You know? Like, I kind of feel like Arthur and Bill are similar in that sense. This is purely speculation, because honestly, we don't really know Bill. This is just me talking out loud, but, like, I feel like that was Percy's way to just be completely different from his family, and he grasped onto that.
And I think with Percy, like, we talked with Chris, and he was saying, like, if you really think about it, like, I think that, is he the middle child? No, technically not, but, like, he has to work really hard. Like, you always see him studying, and you always see him, like, trying to be, like, the best, I'm not breaking any rules kind of thing, where he probably resents, like, it seems that all of those things come easier for his siblings. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like Bill and Charlie, like, were just, you know, themselves. Like, they, you know, and we don't really know a whole ton about them, but, like, Fred and George don't care what people really think. Like, they're just going to do what they want. They obviously, like, not that they don't care what their mother thinks, but they know what they want and they go for it, regardless of what she thinks. And then there's Ron, who, like, does the same thing, but, like, also does care what his mom thinks. And it's just, it's an interesting dynamic to see, like, how different all of the siblings are from each other. And I think that maybe he just, it's one of those situations where he's like, well, I wish I was more like this brother, you know what I mean? Or, like, Jenny, maybe, yeah. Like, oh, I don't think he wants, but, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
He thinks they have it easier, maybe.
And, like, if you think about it, Fred and George, like, they never failed any classes, and they barely tried. Like, they really were smart guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, first of all, to invent those things, you have to be insanely smart to come up with all of those ideas and execute them, and then mass produce them and sell them. Like,
and run a business and have a shop. Like,
yeah. And then, like, Ron,
no slouches.
Like, even though Ron, a lot of the times Ron also, I feel like, suffers from middle child syndrome, he at least is best friends with Harry Potter. So, like, he's known, right? I mean, like, sure, it's not always nice to just be known as Harry Potter's best friend, but, like, he's going to be something because, like, he'll have Harry there along the way, and, like, Harry is bound to become something. You know what I mean?
But Ron in and of himself is, like, a great guy, like, regardless of being friends with Harry Potter, like,
for sure.
He's smart enough to pass his classes, you know, the number one thing that Ron lacks is confidence. If he was more confident in himself, he would be a phenomenal Quidditch player. He'd be able to, like, just be, like, probably the better version of himself, which is true for a lot of people.
Yep.
Just be more confident. You're great the way you are.
Agreed.
And then there's Ginny, who's just like Ginny, and she's cool, you know?
Yep.
Also talented and smart.
And super fiery.
When did this turn into the Weasley's Felix file?
You know?
I'm down with it.
Let's,
go for it, Kate. Go on.
Yeah.
Okay. So Ron, after he tears up that letter, he's like, come on, like, we got all this homework to finish sometime before dawn. And Hermione's looking at him with this odd expression on her face, and then she bursts out, oh, give them here. And she's like, I'll look through them and I'll correct them for you. And Ron's like, you're a lifesaver. Whatever can I do? And she's like, what you can say is we promise we'll never leave our homework this late again. But she looks slightly amused. I think she knows that that's going to happen again. Yes, Tiffany.
I was reading along with what you were reading, and I thought you wrote that Ron gave her a lifesaver, like a candy.
Which kind? The fruit kind or the mint kind?
Fruit always, Katie.
Oh, no, wait, mint. Wintergreen.
Wintergreen is the bomb.
Wintergreen.
You can. I always smell though to make sure it's the wintergreen one.
Yep. I don't want no spearmint, wintergreen, peppermint. Eh, a little strong.
I do like the dark red cherry ones. I think they're cherry, but the darker red ones, those are my favorite.
I have never even heard of that.
Lifesavers, please sponsor.
You just said the fruit flavored Lifesavers.
Oh, I thought you were talking that there was a mint one with cherry.
No, it just was a dark red, the fruit one. I only eat those.
Got it. You're a cherry picker, literally.
And I don't like real cherries. Isn't that interesting?
I don't either.
I used to not like real watermelon and only like fake candy flavored watermelon. I've seen the light. Don't worry.
It's one of the best things to eat in the summer because they say you should eat your like water. So like eat fruits and stuff that have a lot of water in them in the summer to keep you hydrated.
Well, now I know it's delicious. It's okay.
So good.
Anyway. I made her see the goodness of watermelon.
It took a while. So it was past midnight, and it's just the three of them and Crookshanks sitting in the common room. They're the only ones left. The only sound is Hermione's quill scratching on the parchment and her turning pages looking things up. And Harry's sitting there thinking, as he usually does, and he's just straight up exhausted. He thinks he's got this odd, sick, sort of empty feeling in his stomach. And it doesn't have anything to do with being tired or all the stuff he has to do. But it had to do with the letter that was now burning up in the fire. So he's thinking, you know, I know, like, half, if not more, of Hogwarts thinks I'm totally insane. I know the Daily Prophet has been writing these remarks about me literally all summer and more. But seeing it written there in Percy's handwriting, someone who he's spent time with, he spent time at his house with, just last year he got top marks from him at one of the tasks for the Triwizard Tournament. Yeah. Like, seeing that and then knowing that Percy was telling Ron to not be friends with him and even to tattle on him to Umbridge, like, that made the situation more real to him than anything else so far had. I feel really sad because, like, I think we've all had a moment relatable to that, you know, and obviously a drastically different situation, but some things just make things feel much more real.
Yeah.
So now this person who he could consider almost a brother, maybe, because he's pretty close to the Weasleys, now thinks that he's unbalanced and violent. So he suddenly feels pretty sympathetic for Sirius, because Sirius is the only one that could really understand what he's feeling right now. Everyone thinks Sirius is this dangerous murderer who's this Voldemort supporter. And speaking of Sirius, he stops thinking really quick, and he thinks he sees something in the fire, and he's like, no, I was just thinking about Sirius, so I just imagined it. So Hermione gives Ron back his essay and tells him to copy something down, and this is one of the best quotes ever. He's like, Hermione, you're honestly the most wonderful person I've ever met, said Ron weakly. And if I'm ever rude to you again, and Hermione goes, I know you'll be back to normal.
I love how he said it weakly. Like, he is done.
Right,
Boyfriend is done. Mm-hmm. He is poor guy.
So she goes
God
to tell...
God bless Hermione.
I know. So she goes to tell Harry that he wrote that one of Jupiter's moons had mice instead of ice. But he's not...
We don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. One of those 26 unnamed ones or whatever. But he's not paying attention. He's actually, like, on the floor on his knees in front of the fire. And Ron's like, what are you doing? Although by now, after 5 years of friendship, this probably isn't really that weird of a thing for Harry Potter to do.
Yeah.
But Harry's like, I just saw Sirius's head in the fire. And Hermione's like, what do you mean? Like how you saw him in the Triwizard Tournament? He wouldn't do that right now. It would be way too, she's going to say dangerous, but surprise! There's Sirius. Head in the fire. What up, Sirius?
Are we ready?
Yeah. So ready.
Are you awake?
I'm awake. That I did take an ad today, I will say that.
Pause in history. And plus you glitched a little bit, so it was like...
Yeah, you know me, glitch city over here.
Your internet is fantastic.
You're like Vanellope Von Schweetz.
Well, on Thursdays, my family prays the rosary over Zoom. So in order to save myself, I have to put myself on my own hotspot, which isn't that much better than the internet. But otherwise, like, you guys are frozen for a full, like, long time earlier.
Full long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on, I just gotta rearrange myself. So, so Harry's obviously pretty sure that he saw Sirius's head in the fire, as Katie was saying. And it is him. And I said, he's sitting in, his head is, like, sitting in the flames. Not like they did it in the movies, which, like, one was cooler to me than the other, but also hot because it's a fire. But I think it would have been cool to see, like, their actual heads when they did this. Well, you really only ever see him, I think.
Yeah.
In the movies.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Sirius tells him that he had been checking every hour, hoping to get them alone, and was starting to think that they would go to bed before everyone else. And they were like, what? He's like, well, he's checking to see if the coast is clear. He's also pretty sure that a girl, probably a first year, saw him. But he was gone before she could really get a good look. So, you know, he's probably like a wonky log or something, is roughly what he tells them. And then Hermione comments on his risky choices. And that basically reminds him of Molly, because she said things about him going to the, I want to call it the track, and that's what it's called. To see him off on the train. But he needed to talk to Harry about the letter that Harry sent, you know, without having to use code, because, you know, that can be broken, blah, 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 blah. You know, Harry's not that, like, people can crack his code, just stand in it. And then they're shocked to learn, because Harry did not mention to Hermione that he had sent a letter. And he had actually forgotten, because he's like, oh, I forgot. Genuinely, he did, because, you know, he got to talk to Cho Chang for a while in the Owlery. So, like, you know.
I love how your voice changes with Cho Chang. Also, but thought you said Romani on accident, and then I, like, whipped around and looked at your text, and I was like, no, she wrote it.
Yeah. I didn't feel like saying the full names separately.
You're fine. And I don't hate it.
I'm not the one that called, like, that's their ship name.
I know.
But I spelled it incorrectly. And so I had to Google it to make sure I spelled it correctly. So the first one I did was actually Remus and Hermione. I was like, oh no, that's not who I'm talking about.
No.
but there wasn't anyone that could have broken the code, right? He would ask. And then, yeah, probably not, you know, it was all right. No. So then they start talking kind of about Harry's scar hurting, because that was the original reason that Harry had sent the letter in the first place. You know, and it might not really have meant much, other than the fact that it could probably Voldemort's feelings involved with hurting it some more. He might have been really angry that night. You know, they might have gotten his hot pocket might have been too hot in some spots and too cold in other spots. And he got really angry. I don't know why I went there, but it made me really laugh. Basically, yeah. And he also says, you know, now that he's fully back again, Voldy's back. Don't tell anybody is what they really want. Voldemort doesn't want anyone to know. It's most likely going to hurt more than it has in the past, because he's like a human now. To be human again. To be human again. Look at me. All kinds of songs. And then Sirius says, like, it also probably, they don't think that it has anything to do with Umbridge and her being a super, super unkind human being. He also states he's pretty sure that she's not a, I was gonna say a Voldemort, a Death Eater. And he says, his Harry's like, well, but she's pretty horrible. He says, yes, but the world isn't split into good people and Death Eaters. Word. I know she's a nasty piece of work, though. You should hear Remus talk about her. And they're like, oh, has Remus met her? Like, does he know her? Are they, like, best friends? No, because she has no friends, because nobody likes her. Remus has not met her, but he doesn't like her because she drafted an anti-werewolf legislation a few years back that basically makes it impossible for him to get a job, because she's a horrible person who's
you're trash.
She's just, you know, one of those people that hates everybody. And so obviously Hermione is not into this kind of thing. So she is furious. Just furious. And she, I wrote, she's not pleased with this, and rightly so. It's messed up. So I want to read, because they're like, why would, Harry's like, what has she got against werewolves? And Sirius says, scared of them, I expect. Apparently she loathes part humans. She campaigned to have mer people rounded up and tagged last year, too. Imagine wasting your time and energy persecuting mer people when they're a little toe rags like creature on the loose. Now, the last part of that, I don't,
buddy.
Like, the only person that really doesn't like creature, I mean, there's a lot of people, but, like, if you treat it nice, you see later on that, like, he'd be a great dude. But,
he'll
like,
cook you food and everything and be nice.
You're like, why bother rounding up mer people and tagging them? Like, what is this going to do? Why are you wasting time and money on that? That's dumb. Also, don't hate people for the way they are. It's just, why are you wasting your energy on hating anything? Hating something is a waste of time, except hating hate, because it's dumb.
Yes.
Yum.
Hashtag hate hate.
I could talk about it more, but that's not this episode. Any whoosies, again, Hermione is not pleased with Sirius talking about creature like that, and kind of tells him, you know, if you treated creature better, he would probably respond better and be nicer to you. But Sirius isn't hearing it. He interrupts her, changing the subject by asking about Umbridge's lessons. So they tell him, you know, they aren't really allowed to use magic at all in her class. All they do is read a textbook, which makes me want to die. Like, if I had to go to a class and that's what I had to do the whole time, I would skip class. Like, I don't care. I'm not reading it. Don't be like me. I don't read textbooks for classes. I didn't know my friends did it. Like, Jen was like, yeah, I always read before classes. I was like, I never did. Don't do what I do. But I still got good grades. unless I didn't do my homework, but that's a whole other issue. Again, do your homework. So that makes sense according to their ministry informant. This is what Sirius is telling them. Fudge doesn't want them to be trained in combat. And they're like, why? Like, whatever. And it's like, it's not like they're, this is what they said. They're not planning on forming a wizarding army. But Sirius is like, no, that's exactly what Fudge thinks that Dumbledore is doing. And this is how self-centered and important Fudge thinks he is. Honey, you're not important. You are replaceable in a freaking heartbeat.
Honey?
Ugh. It's just so aggravating.
To the left, you know?
Things I want to say that, like, I won't. But anyways.
But honestly, like, thanks for the idea, Fudge.
Right?
Well, certainly. Correct. But, you know, that's Fudge is thinking that Dumbledore is forming his own private army so he can take on the Ministry of Magic. You are so dumb. Like, it makes me so angry because...
Paranoia, for sure.
You are not that important. You're just afraid of losing your job, which you're going to lose anyways because you're failing every single person that looks to the Ministry. Because they're a witch or a wizard, you're failing every single person by ignoring the fact that Voldemort is back. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you lose your job because of it, and then we don't hear from you. You're probably dead. I don't know. But majority of it's your fault. So I said, not only is it not Dumbledore who is or would do that, because Dumbledore doesn't care about your stupid job. He's smarter, better, and just, like, greater than you. So why would he want to be minister?
There's a lot happening right now.
But it would be Voldemort who would be the one doing that. Because really, it's one of his goals to have, like, basically, like, him slash his people take over the ministry.
I mean, if you really think about it, though, essentially, like they say in 7, Voldemort is the Minister of Magic right now, pretty much.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, that's his goal. Like, not his main goal, but that's one of his goals, is to have control over the ministry. And when it falls... He does. Like,
Fudge is just another puppet right now.
Correct.
Yep.
He's dumb. I don't care for him.
Very smart on Voldemort's part, though.
Yeah.
Voldemort doesn't get to do anything. That's the thing. It's just dumb on the lack of what is the word I'm looking for? The lack of, like, doing anything. Like, they're literally not doing anything. Fudge and the ministry, and that's opening them for a swift, not even a swift attack, but like they're slowly gaining more people and being able to infiltrate them, and they're gonna get thrown over. Whatever. And then, Ron says, it's the stupidest thing I've heard, including all of the stuff that Luna Lovegood comes up out with. Like, which is true. The stupid part is that Dumbledore would want to, like, if he's building an army, it's not to fight you, Fudge, you're not that important. Move aside. Just saying. So I want to read from the book again.
This episode should be called Whatever.
So we're being prevented from learning Defense Against the Dark Arts because Fudge is scared we'll use spells against the Ministry, said Hermione, looking furious. Yep, said Sirius. Fudge thinks Dumbledore will stop at nothing to seize power. He's getting more paranoid about Dumbledore by the day. It's a matter of time before he has Dumbledore arrested on some trumped-up charge. Which does happen, but, like, again, Fudge, please hear me clearly because I know you listen. You were not and never were that important. Thank you, goodbye. So then, like, Harry remembers the letter that Percy sent. So then he asks Sirius if there's anything coming out in the about Dumbledore in the paper the next day. Yeah, Megan.
I was just going to say that if there's anybody to be annoyed with in this chapter, it's not Percy, it's Fudge.
Right.
I think you could say, like, the whole book, you can boil it down to Fudge and Umbridge both being dumb humans.
Yeah.
That need to get... So Sirius has not heard anything, so he's like, I don't know, I haven't heard from the Order all weekend. And he could tell that you could tell that the way he's saying this is like how we're all feeling in this quarantine. Because he said he's been alone in the house. It was just him and Creature all weekend long. You know, they're all busy and I'm stuck here. And he said they're talking about the Hagrid and that the only news about him is the fact that he was supposed to be back by now. But Dumbledore isn't worried. And so he tells them that they should be either. And then we learn that Madame Maxime was with him, but they had parted ways. Like to go home, basically. But there isn't anything to indicate that he has been hurt or anything. So, like, don't worry. And he also tells them to not ask too many questions about Hagrid because it will bring more attention to the fact that he isn't at school.
Good point.
And then he kind of changes the subject again and he asks them about their next Hogsmeade weekend. I almost said Hogwarts weekend. Every weekend's a Hogwarts weekend. Because he's thinking about coming and visiting them, but like both Harry and Hermione, like at the same time, vehemently tell him no. And they're like, haven't he seen the prophet? And Harry and Hermione think that they actually, like they being like the public, because they reported that he's back in London, he was seen, and he's like, they don't know anything. They're like, no, really, like we think that they do know the fact that you like you're an animagus. I'm pretty sure Pettigrew told them. Like right. They think like we know like. This is probably correct information because of, like, stuff that Draco was saying on the train. Mm-hmm. And we're sure that Lucius knew that you're an animagus and saw you and told the peeps. And if you came, like, Draco would recognize you right away. And then, like, it would be known that, like, you're still, like, around here, whatever. Yeah. And, like, Sirius is, like, upset about it. He goes, well, if you don't want me to like come, then you know, whatever. Because Harry's like, I just want you to be safe. He's like, I get the point. He's like, I just thought they would want to spend some time together. And Harry's like, I do. I really want to spend time with you, but it's not worth going back to Azkaban over.
Yeah.
At least Sirius saying, you're less like your father than I thought. And this is like one of the times where I think that his immaturity comes out because, like. Yeah. You're in your 30s and you're saying this to like a 15-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, you're less like your father than I thought. The risk would have made it fun for James. But like, I think if James is in the same situation, I don't know. I think he would have been like, you're not coming. But because he says it with like a lot of coolness in his voice. And I, you know, this is something that probably like hurt Harry a lot to hear him say that. And he doesn't really know his dad, and so he likes the thing, like, that he, I don't know. It's just, like, a very immature thing to say. But again, he is hurt, and he's been stuck in the house for months now.
Yeah.
And
right after being stuck in Azkaban.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't really gotten to live a life in however many years it's been, 14 years. So it's rough. So then that kind of shuts down the conversation. So with that, he tells them that he should go because he hears Creature, but he'll write to them when he can, like, basically give them a time when they can have another fireside chat again. And he adds if they can stand to risk it, because he's serious and he's mad. Well, I wouldn't say he's mad. I think he's upset. And then with a pop, he's gone from the flames.
I think he's more so just, like, being pouty, you know? Yeah. Like,
but, like, wait, you know that hit Harry right in the heart. That sucks,
well, that's
man.
Probably why he said it. Sometimes people speak off the cuff like that because they know it's going to get an emotional reaction out of someone.
Yeah.
Yes, I like that. I know what to say to make people, like, angry. Like, so when we're fighting, like, I'm probably going to just say, "This, I don't do this. I try not to do this anymore." And I actually haven't had to fight with someone in a long time. But, like, when my sister and I were younger and we'd fight, I would purposely say things to hurt her because I am that human. Don't do that. I don't do that now.
That's so mean.
Yeah. Oh. She's also, it's not like she's not saying mean things to me, but I've grown up. I'm nicer now.
Good. You better be nicer. You tell people to be nice humans. You take your own advice, ma'am.
Be a kind just human.
I'm very nice.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to redo a series, because we did Sirius as Felix Well already. I mean, and like I've said it before, like, we'll have to redo them all, especially with coming out of the books fresh like this and finding why, like, people are the way they are and what makes them tick is, honestly, it's been one of the most enjoyable things about doing this podcast is understanding the characters more.
Yeah,
because it's not like I'm reading it as a kid, and as a kid I'm like, gosh, I don't like Percy. Right. And now reading it as an adult, even doing this, the dissecting in this reread, you know, I've reread them as an adult before, but now I'm like really starting to like think about the way that people work, and so that's just, it's just been really awesome this time around.
Good thing I'm recording it.
Okay.
Time for those lightning bolt round questions.
Tell me.
I'm going to ask this one because it's up on the screen and it's going to go away soon. So Jess asks, what was your AIM username?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Cheer Tiffy Ray 06.
That just makes you think of your friends. Well, I don't know if that was his AIM profile, but...
It was.
Hilarious.
Sarah, what was yours?
The one that I used the most, I think, was... The one that I remember the most was Ringlets 411, but it was spelled incorrectly. So it was WRINGLETS 411. But I don't know if that was like my main one. That's just the one I can remember. I made one that was called Celtic Storm. It was towards the very end of me even using them. And I had a friend that made one. We got in a fight because of it, because supposed to be above average, but I told her it looked like a beverage because it did. Like, she took like some of the vowels out, and I was like, "It looks like," she was like, "It looks like a beverage," and she got real angry with me. And she's like, "Well, yours is stupid," and I was like, "Yeah, you're not wrong. All of these are dumb."
Oh God,
all of these are dumb.
You want me to go next?
Sure.
Mine was Rupert's Girl 77. Yeah. Girl spelled with a U.
Oh!
I don't know. Did I ever have Curls 411? Was that one of them, or was it just Ringlets?
I think you had Curls.
Curls, for sure.
Did I?
I think in high school. I feel like that was the one that you put the stapler thing. I feel like it was Curls 411.
French together.
Yeah.
And we... Because we were... I just thought that one was so funny. I believe you have my stapler. And we asked our French teacher to write it out basically in French. And so we put it in our AIM profile. So it said, I believe you have my stapler in French in our profile.
You're out of your mind.
I remember spending, and I'm not exaggerating when I said, copious amounts of hours on AIM away profile sites finding good away messages to put. Oh. Like, I would be on there, but for I would have sure. the away message up.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Pretending that you're living a cool life when yeah. you're really not.
Yeah.
After. And sometimes I would change them, like, throughout, like, my hours on the internet reading these away messages.
You are yeah. so
so good.
Oh my god. Memories, man. Memories.
Katie, what was yours?
My first one ever was Bug 101190. Because my nickname as a kid was Bug. And then that was my birthday. But then after that, I can't remember what my name was.
Did you change your birthday?
Yeah, I changed my birthday. But my Yahoo one was Skellington Snog Session.
It was. So. It was.
I want that on a shirt. I met Skellington Snog Session.
I don't think I made the first one for like 2 hours before I was told to change it because I was like 13 or something young and it was Red Hot Hottie. My dad's like, yep, you're changing that.
So good.
All right, next question comes from Kelly and she asks, do you think Percy would have fit in to Slytherin because he is so ambitious? I feel like we have talked about this at length, but maybe quick recap answers. Mine's a hard no.
I like him as a Gryffindor.
He's a Gryffindor.
I think he deserves to be a Gryffindor.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that he's like a pedigree Gryffindor, but like more on the lines of like
protecting yourself, you know, ish Gryffindor.
But he's brave yeah. for like.
Oh yeah,
no, I'm not that brave. No, I think that yeah. there's things that Pettigrew has done that are like,
oh aren't, for sure.
Some of them are good, and some of them aren't.
Yeah.
He's like, it's brave to like.
Go against your family.
Go against your family.
Yeah. It was brave of Pettigrew to like go against all of his friends for years. You know what yeah. I mean?
I also he's feel also as a if. Percy values, like,
yeah,
Gryffindor traits over Slytherin pride. Traits. Pride, for sure, is a Gryffindor trait.
What?
Just saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'm proud.
All right, next up comes from Courtney. This is kind of the same question, but, like, in a different context. So she asks, do you think Percy chose Gryffindor instead of Slytherin when he was sorted to please his parents?
No, I think he was chosen.
I don't think it works. I don't think the hat works like that. To please someone else? No, yeah, this is about what you want.
Right.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
I agree. Okay, Sarah asks, different Sarah, not Sarah O'Malley.
No, I don't.
How did Umbridge persuade the Dementors to attack Harry? What did she promise
I don't
them?
Think she
Why
did
they listen to her?
I mean, evil.
They were getting a soul.
Evil.
They were getting a soul. They don't yeah. care.
I think that they
and
just
not
saw...
even one. They got like 1.5 souls, 2.5, really, if you think about Dudley.
Yeah, and I think that they viewed her as a high-ranking ministry official, and they listened to her. And
they were on edge. I mean, all think about their purpose. Okay, you don't have to tell them twice. If you snap your fingers and say, "Go get this person," they're like,
yeah,
"I
do it." They don't care.
Bye. You know like how, I'm gonna go.
You know how Harry can feel other Horcruxes and other Horcruxes react to him as well. Evil will react to other evil.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree.
Yeah.
Carly asks, would the Weasleys be financially comfortable without their kids, or does Arthur's job just pay that low? I mean, 7 kids, is a lot
kids
of kids.
Kids are not cheap.
Yeah.
But school is free, but all the other stuff that goes with it is not. So I think that if they didn't have kids, yeah, they'd have a lot more money.
I think they'd be all right. I don't think that they would be, like, super comfortable, but they'd be okay.
Yeah. I agree.
I think they'd be comfortable.
Yeah.
But I would rather, I don't know. I think that they have a great life. Like the kids, yeah. So what, you have to use hand-me-downs? I had to use hand-me-downs. I still have hand-me-downs. There's nothing wrong with that.
Same.
Honestly, it's better for the environment.
It is.
It is.
And it is better for the environment.
Better for the environment. And I'm like, they have a loving, they come from a loving family, and not everyone has that. You know, look at Harry.
They're rich in other things. From-
yes.
Yeah.
It just threw me off. Are you like, spare the environment? I wasn't expecting
no, it.
I'm not saying it's not. It just threw me off.
Next question is from Vinny. What do you think is the call etiquette of a fireside chat?
There is none. I don't think they have an etiquette for it. People are just popping out of fires willy-nilly.
What if you were in a compromising position right in front of your fire? And your in-laws are calling, hey, Ma!
What if you don't stick your whole head through? You just, like, start with your lips so you can speak out of their fire, and you're like, yo!
Well, I was thinking, like, what if you moon people through the fire?
What if what?
You could moon people through the fire. Oh. I would totally do that.
You are out of your mind.
Well, I was going to say, like, there clearly isn't any etiquette because, like, Umbridge does come into their conversation at some point in the future, doesn't she? She, like...
Yeah.
It's different because they're at Hogwarts. Or do you Maybe. Think it's, like, you know, if I'm calling into, like, a house that has more than one fireplace...
No, well,
like,
well, you have to think about when Harry breaks into Umbridge's office later, all he does is throw the flu powder in the fire and sticks his head through. He doesn't do anything else, and he just yells. Right. And Lupin happens to be right there.
True.
So I don't think there's any kind of etiquette.
Well, like, but did he even say, like, Grimmauld Place, like, he said nothing, he just started yelling into the fireplace?
No, he did. He said where he wanted to go.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, say if Grimmauld Place had, like, five fireplaces.
But massive. No.
Is he going to be going through all of them? Or could, like, say he's talking, say he flews in, like, Harry has one fireplace in his house, and he goes to call, like, say Ron and Hermione hit the lottery and they've got five fireplaces, and so he goes to call them, and Hermione's talking to him during one. Could, like, Ron pop in from another fireplace in their house and they could have, like, a three-way chat?
Probably.
But do you have to wear pants?
No.
Okay.
It's like Zoom. You don't have to wear pants.
You need to be careful, though. Because that one got up and was not wearing pants.
Okay, next question comes from Branagh. Iggy, you have way too much to say. Do you think knowing it was one of their last conversations that Sirius would regret the way he spoke to Harry?
For sure.
I think he regretted it as soon as he said it, but he's too stubborn to apologize for anything like that, and, you know.
Agreed.
I hear that.
And also, I feel like he's the kind of guy, along with Harry, that sometimes apologies are not said, but just understood.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. Okay, last one from Marchismo. Marchismo?
Every time I see that, I think of Maraschino.
Same. And I'm just going to call you Cherry. No, I'm kidding. Okay. how do you think the other ministry employees thought of Percy?
I feel like they're like...
thought he was brown nose, probably.
No, who's the guy from the last book that died? Why can't it... Barty Crouch. I think they're like him. They're like Weasel Bomb, you know what I mean? Like, they don't even know who he is. That's my personal preference.
He is getting a little bit more attention in this book, like with Fudge and whatnot. So maybe they're annoyed with him. Probably. I mean, a lot of people. If you think about how he was at school, a lot of people were annoyed with him.
Yeah, he's probably a micromanager, which is not never fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that. I either think they're indifferent or they're annoyed.
That's all. That's all we got. I'm done. All
right.
No more.
No more.
All right. On to the fan story.
Fan story.
I have a question.
No, Sarah. What?
So, if you transformed a bird into a teacup and threw it into a flue fire, would it crash? Or would it go through the fire?
It would fly out and live.
It would pop out in another fireplace.
But, like, what if, like, you're super allergic to cats, and I transfigured a cat into a teacup, and I threw it through the fire, and then through the fire, the teacup became a cat again. Would you die?
You'd be sneezing tea.
Sneezing tea.
Just saying.
All right, so, fan story. This week comes from Dylan. Dylan says, okay, this is my Potter story. My name is Dylan, and I am 13. When I was about 5, I was starting to hear about these books and movies that were suddenly starting to get popular in my school because of Deathly Hallows Part 2. I need to pause and say this is super interesting because I heard about Harry Potter through school. So I like that it had a resurgence.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? Like, it's still... Harry Potter's not going anywhere. That's all I gotta say.
Tell that to all the crazy Universal annual pass holders. They're like, stop building Harry Potter stuff. It's a phase. It's gonna be over. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, go ahead.
Iggy agrees. I made the major mistake of just brushing it off and going on my way. Thank you, Iggy.
Jeez,
I have a question about that, Megan. Like, isn't that the biggest reason why, like, Universal's now getting more money is because they built Harry Potter stuff and people are coming to the parks? Okay, thank you. Bye.
Yeah.
They filed. They were about to file for bankruptcy, and then they launched Potter.
Harry Potter saved their butts. But okay, go ahead.
They cast a spell. Save-o, buddy-o.
It's okay. I've sipped my tea many times.
Yeah.
I'm content.
Did you sip your tea, or was your tea a cat transformed into
tea? I'm not sure.
It's not tea, it's the teacup.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Maybe teacup. I used the teacup that was actually a cat, though.
How cute. The little tail could be all stripey. I mean, the handle would be all stripey because it's the tail.
Okay. What's happened? Read Dylan's story.
Sorry, Dylan. Okay. Then, 3 years later, when I was 8, I took an interest in magic and cryptids and things like that. My mom recommended a book and movie series called Harry Potter. I had already skimmed through the books because we had them in our home library, but I never really got into them. So a few weeks later, I decided to watch Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, and I loved it. Then, last year, I decided to start reading the books, and I finished them in 1 week. Woohoo!
Oh my gosh.
While still doing my other hobbies like drawing and playing video games, and I love that too. My house is Slytherin. My Patronus is a Dunsallion. What is that? Someone look that up, please. My wand is black walnut wood, unyielding, 11¾ inches, and a dragon heartstring core. My favorite character is Albus Dumbledore, and my Ilvermorny house is Wampus. Sorry for the entire novel that I emailed you. Have a great day. First of all, do not apologize for sending any length of an email to us.
Yeah.
Second, I totally relate to you because I did the same thing through school, and I was like, Harry Potter, I don't need this in my life, but I really did.
It is a Dunsallion.
Oh, yeah. Stallion.
It's a horse.
Got it.
So
it's just a horse of another color.
Yeah.
It's a horse of a different color.
Your hobbies are awesome. Yeah. I too like to play video games.
Yup.
I too do not like to play video games.
That's because you're not good at them, sucker.
I like to draw and
I try enjoying other things. I love the sound of a family library.
What?
Didn't he say that in their family library?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said something about you had a family library.
No, I mean, we kind of do, which is scattered. True. I was complaining to my mother about the amount of books we have in our house that, like, they're not all mine. It's just, like, when we moved into our house and I wasn't 17, my mom still had her college nursing school books from, I think then it was 30 years ago.
Unnecessary, roughly. Completely.
Like, why do you still have these? But we're a book loving family, so it's every room besides bathrooms. But my parents' bathroom has a book in it.
Okay.
Just one book.
But I think they might have two, I don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much for sharing your story.
I love hearing from our younger listeners. Love it.
Yes.
So
Tiffany,
thank you.
Do you
so
love it?
I love it. Whatever.
All right, are you ready for the joke of the week?
Yeah.
Give it.
Why did Beedle write all those stories anyway?
To Bard.
Because one day he was Bard.
Ah! I was almost there.
You're almost there, like Tiana.
All right.
Almost there. I had a Band-Aid on that was Tiana today.
Oh, almost there. Find us on social media.
I put a bunch together and cut myself.
I'm sorry. I was like, I don't want to just, like, talk over the fact that you, like, cut yourself. I'm sorry about that. But anyway.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but I did need a Band-Aid. It's fine.
Find us on Facebook at Swish and Flick Podcast. You can also join our Facebook group called Swish and Flick Podcast Group. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Swish Flick Cast. You can follow your hosts, myself and Katie, on Twitter and Instagram at The Petrus Family. Tiffany is on Twitter and Instagram at TiffSwish_Flick. And Sarah is on Instagram at OhHaHaHaMally, which is three H's. And we also...
I don't like ha ha ha. That implies there's A's in between the H's, and there is not.
No A's.
OhHaHaMally. We love doing stories on Instagram, and we tend to go live before we record, so make sure that you turn notifications and alerts on so that you can join in on the fun with us. Also, if you love this podcast and want to support us, you can be a part of it at patreon.com/swishflickcast. I am fairly certain this episode will come out before the end of the month, so we've extended the cutoff date for Phoenix Plus patron boxes for July. To May 31st. So if you join by May 31st, you will be eligible to get the Phoenix Plus box in July, which is approved by Mrs. Norris herself.
Meow.
Meow.
Katie, did you ever pick your charity?
Nope.
No, I need to do that.
Oh, we talked about maybe doing a COVID-19 charity for this month, and then Katie would pick next month.
That's fine with me.
Ah.
Which I'm okay with, if everybody else is.
Yep.
Fine.
So.
So, hey, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Cool. What am I doing?
Yeah, go for it. Well, really quick, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to everybody who... This is graduation season, and I know a lot of people have totally different situations now with graduation, but we just wanted to say a big, massive congrats to everybody that is graduating right now, because it's awesome that you did it, even though the end of the semester was weird, but you got there, it happened, congratulations, and we are all super happy for everybody.
Did it.
Yes. Let's talk about... preschool graduation, kindergarten graduation, high school, college. Those are the main big ones that I can think of, at least like in my world.
Eighth grade
graduation. Good job. Woo, woo, woo.
You're awesome.
Honestly,
all certifications. Yes.
Like, it's a really big deal to be going through this at that time. And it is something that is going to shape you. So... we have
also
all...
just shout out to anybody that finished the dang semester. Shout out to you.
Right?
Yeah, honestly.
So.
So I've been playing a lot of Breath of the Wild. I am having so much fun. I beat the first beast. So I kind of got that. I don't want to say too much in front of you.
Yeah.
Megan.
I like how like Tiffany's like, oh, do you guys want to do like a play together? And then she's like halfway through it already and I'm like, hello, didn't even buy it yet. Okay, thanks.
Sorry, I'm not sorry. There's plenty I can do in this game. Don't worry. There's hours and hours.
I know.
And playing a lot of Animal Crossing, it's cool to talk about it with Swishers in the Stock Market Swishers Animal Crossing group. So that's been awesome. We only have one more week of our workout program left, and then we have to venture on and possibly do something else, or I'm not sure yet.
Do it again.
We'll see. And yeah, so I do want to. Well, I'm momming and all of that, and everything's great. We're just living that toddler life over here. So I wanted to shout out someone. I went to high school with this person. Her name is Meredith, and she does really awesome fabric work. Like, she has like a loom and everything, and she makes weavings. She's based in Chicago. You can get commission pieces from her. So her name is Meredith Donnelly. She's a beautiful human. So She doesn't have an Etsy shop, but you can go through her Instagram and you can commission a piece from her. So it's Meredith Donnelly Fibers. And that's Meredith spelled traditionally. Donnelly is D-O-N-N-E-L-L-Y and Fibers, F-I-B-E-R-S. And then she also has another thing going on where she's small business and she's getting hit pretty hard right now. And so I just wanted to give her some love. So she also has a photography business and she is an amazing photographer. So that is Meredith Donnelly Photography. And just go to her Instagram pages, give her some love. If you like her weavings, get something nice for your place and just give her some love in this time. Tell her Tiffany from Swish and Flick sent you. And that is all I have.
Awesome. I wanted to give a shout out to the Swisher that made a Swish and Flick BuzzFeed quiz, which is hilarious and awesome. I am proud to say that I got 16 out of 16. Thank you. Also, our friend Chris took the quiz, and I just want to give props to him. He got 14 out of 16.
That's pretty great.
What did he miss?
He missed the quote at the end, not the "Don't let the muggles get you down," but the quote by the fat lady, like which what it is, which he honestly never would have known. So fine.
Although and he should listen to the pod,
right? And then he didn't get the birthday right.
Well, and what I said was technically the birthday, the day that Swish and Flick was invented and created, was June 26th, and not it just came out July 31st.
So I guess our anniversary is the 31st.
We have two birthdays.
I would accept both answers.
I would not, because I'm a stickler for the rules. No, I'm just kidding. I doesn't matter.
But yeah, what's going on with me? I'm officially full-time working from home, so that is pretty amazing. I'm super excited about that. I'm really going to start working on getting our design business like set and ready for business. So I'm excited. Mm-hmm. Good changes are happening.
It is.
And I am happy about them.
Is this past your birthday now where we're recording this? Probably. If not, happy birthday or happy after your birthday.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm going to be 30.
It's okay. 30 and flirty.
30 woo-hoo! And flirty 30! And thriving.
What am I doing? Getting swole. Not really. Just working out. Trying to be healthy. I'm playing a lot of Animal Crossing and just hanging out with my girl and my cats. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Sarah?
I'm doing a whole lot of nothing. I built a bench today, so that is now four things I've made, I think.
Yeah.
Right? What have I made? The desk chair, the piano, and the bench. The bench cut me, though. And then we're getting, like, not patio furniture, but, like, a little bistro set to go in our front yard. Not in our front yard, but we've got, like, a little bricked-off area, like, right by our front door. Then I was like, Mom, I literally took a picture and then I drew on it like you can draw on like your iPhone. And I was like, a table and chairs would look so nice right here. So I think she might have bought one. I don't know. But I'll probably put that together when it comes as well because that's what I do now. But I've been watching a lot of shows. So I was telling Tiffany this yesterday because yesterday while we were recording this was my mom's birthday. So.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched Zoe. I think it's Zoe's exceptional. It's Zoe's something playlist. I don't know if it's like it's not imaginary. Maybe it's like exceptionary. I don't know. Extraordinary. Zoe's extraordinary playlist. And if you're into musicals, because like every episode, like they're singing, so basically like. Something happens to where, like, now she can hear. She calls them heart songs. So she hears people singing their heart songs. Like, and there's some really freaking talented people in this show. So, like, Austin Skylar's in there. There's a Skylar Austin. I don't know what his name is. He was in Pitch Perfect, is in it. Bernadette Peters is in it, and you know, if you know who she is, like, she's freaking phenomenal. The woman that played she was in Hamilton. Why can't I think of her name? But she was in it. She's one of the Skylar sisters. She's not Peggy. Angelica. She's Angelica. She played Angelica. I had to think of the song in my name or in my head. So it's phenomenal. I really, really like that show. I will say it's kind of, some of the material is very heavy because her dad has a disease that's like progressively getting worse. So I will tell you that if you are sensitive to that stuff. I cried everything. I did pretty much stop watching the last episode, but it was like, oh, so good. What else have I watched? I watched Hollywood. There's a new show on Netflix. I will say that there's like some swearing and some nudity in it, so it's very adult. But that was phenomenal. So that's from Ryan Murphy, and he does American Horror Story. So he's super talented. There's super talented people in that. Like Darren Criss is in it, and other people. It was so good. I finished that today. Run on HBO, again, adult. But Donald Gleason is in that. He plays Bill Weasley. Very good. And that is done by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I think is her name. That's her show, and she does Fleabag, which is, I guess, is like, has won a bunch of awards. And I've watched a couple of those episodes, but I've been enjoying Run a lot. And that's pretty much all I've been doing. What else? Oh, Normal People on Hulu, another show. I haven't finished that yet because I had to take a break because it's like emotional. But I really enjoy that. Again, that's like more of an adult show too. Like, but it's super good. And it's got people with accents, so you know I'm going to like it.
Speaking of Bill Weasley, we watched a film that he was in when he was younger. Not like a kid, but younger. Called About Time.
That's not that old.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a great movie. It was fantastic.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Like, if you want a feel-good movie, and it's especially great for these times,
it is very pertinent to the times. Oh, like, so highly good. Recommend. If you're in, like, a bad headspace just about, like, everything going on and life in general, like, right now, go watch About Time. It will put your head in the right
spot.
Right, man. Spot. It is just, it's a great movie. And then also, another really good, like, don't have to think about anything type of show to watch, go watch The Great British Bake Off. It's literally the bomb.
Yes. Nancy Birtwistle.
Okay. Yes.
But I'm done now.
All right. Good up, friends. Good up.
Yep.
Okay, well, just a fair warning, when we come back, it's another split chapter. Surprise! Not really, but we get to talk about the amazing and lovely new High Inquisitor of Hogwarts. Oh. And I gotta say, she's a delight. Okay, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
Got it! All right, ready? Is that really all your section is?
Well, I'm going to read the letter, which is pretty long.
Jeez.
So it's okay.
I was like, I thought I messed up in my I was like, no. Wait.
It's because I'm going to read the letter.
Meg waits till right now to be like, I didn't finish my notes.
I sat down to record and realized this, so I'm a stranger to these things. Jeez. All right. Sorry, I flipped out for a second.
No, you're good.
No, I honestly didn't think that you didn't do your notes. I thought that I only gave you that much, and I was like, she should have said something.
No, it's all good.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.